We'd like to thank our sponsors, A&H Provisions. For all of your kosher delicatessen needs, go to kosherdogs.net and 30% off of your first order with promo code MODI. Also, Whites and Luxembourg, the law firm that not only does well, they do good. Whitesandlux.com.
Welcome to Andy's Modi.
And welcome back to And Here's Modi. We are hot off of Pesach. Passover. We just finished. We landed. We had shows. We had shows. We did Florida. Leo booked it that we did three Pesach programs, which we should talk about Pesach programs a little bit, even though we've spoken about it in the back.
I called it your non-gebrachstour.
Your non-gebrachstour? Oh, so specific.
What is that?
Non-gebrachstour. You thought you were going to... it was amazing. We had the best time. The shows were great. I will tell you one thing. It's a lot. So these Passover programs is over 1,000 people in a hotel, and they all eat in one room. It is the loudest experience you can ever imagine. I will tell you all right now, Leo is not Jewish and does not have to keep the laws of kosher for Passover and did not go to any of the meals and ordered Uber Eats into the room.
Hilarious.
Leo could not. We went down the first night and these programs are amazing. The Doral, Shkoyach, and the Trump Doral, they all have five names. It's like Doral, Ram, Glot Mart Kosher Program, and then they send you a check from like Congregation Beth Yeshurun, you know, some like, it's H1, but the Doral, and then the one at the Turnberry, which is Lasco. Oh, so beautiful. What a property. What an amazing, and the food, and majestic. We just did the show there. But I'm just telling you, it's so loud and so aggressive in the dining rooms. And they're just coming and bringing, and the waiters are giving everybody eight entrees. And it's like the cats. And Leo can't take it. Leo couldn't. He's like, I can't. It's like, he couldn't catch his breath.
I've never done it.
No, it's not you. You have a different Pesach journey. Is his mic close enough? Yeah.
We had a guest.
No, but he had 1 minute. We're just getting into it. Guest is the rabbi.
I'm barely a guest. You know what I am? When you don't have a... Remember on the Tonight Show when they wouldn't have a guest or like someone would cancel in the last minute and they'd bring in Al Roker every time? Hilarious. So I'm Al Roker on
God
this
forbid.
Podcast.
God forbid.
No, by the way,
you were the OG guest.
I am.
Look, can I finish my story? Where was I?
Pesach programs.
So that's it. So Leo stayed in the room and just ordered Uber Eats.
Do you eat it? Do you eat this?
No, I'm okay. I know how to handle a room of 1,000 Jews screaming at the top of their lungs. I sat with Dina's parents. I had a wonderful time. But for someone who's not Jewish and does not and can't. 1,000 people in a room.
1,000 pieces 1,000 people in a room. Fish is a lot.
Each table is about 20 to 25.
No.
And they're like, you end up screaming across. So it wasn't for him. And then the buffet, after it gets manhandled, it looks like, you know, it's as beautiful as it begins. At the end, it looks like terror. So Leo's not for Leo. So he...
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
It's got
it. It's a lot. It's anyway, we are in the studio with Rabbi Gav Bellino. Rabbi Gav here. Bellino, period.
Our first guest ever.
Guest only. And here we are, over 100 episodes later, and you're back.
So this is my third time.
Yeah, he was back in the middle.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
I went to a very chic Passover Seder with Mr. Jake Cohen.
Oh.
Nice.
And
Chef Jake Cohen.
It was amazing. Very, very not that. Not 1,000 screaming Jews tossing balls of gefilte fish at each other.
No, this is just
threw four different sedarim. I saw like he did a whole
sedarim,
seders,
sedarim. Yeah, okay. And so how was it?
No? It was amazing. It was Judy Gold and Deborah Messing acted out the Exodus.
Oh, they did it like that? That was cute.
It was the later Seder.
That's a lot. Yeah.
The later Seder. That's hysterical.
It was amazing.
That's fun.
It really
that's
was.
And we have... Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No.
That's it.
I'm giving you something else that happened. Jake happened. You're going to say it with Jake. What was like the
it
next?
It was, first of all, there was more food than I've ever seen in my entire life. So okay. It was Benj Pasek, Alex Edelman, and Jake Cohen, who I guess have been
doing. Oh, and our friend also, what's his name? Leo Page was there and his husband, Ben.
Probably.
Yeah, he's like an oral surgeon or something. Do you know? Did you get to meet him? Leo's Page. He was there at the same theater. Okay, it doesn't matter.
There were a lot of very cute gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
Was there brisket?
No, I don't think there was brisket.
What did he serve?
There were like really chic, like gourmet little matzahs with cream cheese and Russ and Daughters.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yum.
Gebracht, everything in one. Anyway.
And like singing. And
cute. Yeah.
Very cute.
How long was it?
Not that long. I mean, there was like a party too.
It was really fun.
It was
fun. Yeah. What a great Seder.
And I had, and the night before I had gone to my family's, which is like riddled with mental illness. So this felt like a good.
Seder is really my only like, Passover for me, it's the Seder, and then there's the shows. So the Seder's in my house. We have, my mother comes, we have the grandkids there, we're all in my house.
In your apartment?
Yeah, and I get a little spiritual, and I just make sure everybody's focusing on what Seder they need. Now, the Shabbat before, the Sabbath before the Seder, before Passover, is a special Shabbat. It's called Shabbat HaGadol. And that, the rabbi's speech is supposed to be a big thing on that. And I went. It's not during like in the morning. They do it in the afternoon. That's how big it is. Now, I went to Rabbi Bellino's Dvar Torah speech before that on the Shabbat, before the thing. It was unbelievable.
Well, you're really sweet.
You really forget, you know, when he's your friend and you talk about fashion and you talk about working out and you're talking about current events and punchlines, you forget that this is a rabbi. Mm-hmm. And he knows so much. He gave an hour and a half of why we dip the wine out of the cup.
My favorite part.
Right. Yeah. So in one line, the whole Dvar Torah, it's just so that we don't, when we're showing that we're not thrilled that our enemies are suffering.
That's...
Period.
No.
Now he built up what? No?
No.
Then you built the case for it all the way back to like the rabbis of 500.
No, everybody says that it's like the great, it's a ritual to show empathy, but it's kind of made up. It's actually like a revenge ritual that developed around the time of the Crusades. And it was really a way of like showing your anger at your neighbors, showing your anger at the people that are mistreating you.
And then
at a certain point, we turned it around and listen, there are tropes. There are tropes in rabbinical literature about that encourage empathy and not celebrating when your enemy falls is from Proverbs. But there's a give and take. There's a back and forth on it, and it's sort of a complicated thing.
That's
one of the options you left on the table was that this could be why you do this.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the one I took home.
So that's
he
sweet
built
thing.
A few
that's...
different cases. An hour and a half speech you're talking about. He built a few different cases of why we did it, and then brought back all like. To the Rishonim, and he goes, how do we know that this was said before this? Because this was said at 580 and this was said at 420. And he's like, all that deep. And I'm like blown away.
It was really nice to have you. And it's nice to learn with you. We don't get to do that.
No, like, we don't learn that often. But when we do, we do.
We do, but it's... We have lots of things that
no, you every time you give, nice a, to, you nice give a Shabbat sermon, I'm, it's yeah. a learning thing. Will you, he hits you with a Shabbat sermon again. It just
hurry up when you come to my shul, girl. You're gonna love it.
Now, Peter, you have to come to the shul. You have to. Those of you who are listening to this, by the way, okay, come to the shul. You're all invited. It is the most. It's an Orthodox synagogue. Men sit on one side, women on the other. And what defines men and women in that shul is another whole thing.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe, and everyone's welcome. The services are done in an Orthodox manner. The nigunim, the songs, are done Carly Bach style and regular motif, nusach.
It doesn't take forever.
It doesn't take forever. He is completely super conscious that everybody has a day after this event. And we're out there sometimes by 8:30.
If I don't have tequila in my face by 11:15, I feel like a failure.
What do you mean 8:30 in the morning?
No, 11:30. By 11
in the morning.
Yeah.
And we're done by 11:15.
And there's the service upstairs. There's a service upstairs. And then you go downstairs, and all of a sudden, the amount of people, the downstairs into the kiddush, into the lunch, all of a sudden, it's double the amount of people. What do you call them? JFK.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just for kiddush. They come just to, they don't even come to the synagogue. They go, they all have a reason, but they have a stroller and a baby hanging off, you know. And, but they go right downstairs. They're not looking for they're not there for the service. They're there to see people and be, is their Shabbat.
That's nice.
To come down to a kiddush.
That's right.
Now, it's a very interesting thing that you're talking about with the plagues and the blood and the empathy for the... Well, yeah, we didn't finish.
Well, you know, it's a really...
Especially what's going on now.
It's a really interesting thing because to look at your enemy and to look at the downfall of your enemy and to like be like saddened, to say, my cup is not full because these horrible people have been punished. So it takes a great strength. Now, 2024, I don't think we have that strength. I don't think we have that. I think we're all too mad to really have the strength to feel empathy. And maybe, so my point was maybe even more so, maybe we need to correct that. Maybe we need to think that these are actual, we have to remind ourselves that these are actual people. We're so traumatized. We're so upset. I have to tell you, on Pesach, I took a nap. I never let these protests get to me. I'm so selective about what gets to me and like what my inputs are. You're very much like that.
Very much, yes.
And you know, I had a little to drink at lunch on Monday.
Yeah.
And it was a warm day, so my window was open. And I guess I was sleeping, but the protests started again at the new school, and that's a couple blocks away from where I live. And you hear just like the drumming and the calls of genocide and the anti-Semitism. And, you know, that's while I'm sleeping and it wakes me up. And it made me so panicky. It made me so upset. Maybe it could have been the alcohol. It could have been that it hit me when I was like sleeping. And I was like, I felt so vulnerable in my own home. I was nowhere near. I was two blocks away on the 10th floor. But I don't know. It really got to me this holiday, this Yom Tov. And that's the contradiction. We're celebrating the redemption of years ago in an unredeemed world. And that's a really hard sell, I think, for a lot of people. How do you celebrate the Passover? How do you celebrate an exodus from Egypt when our siblings aren't free and our siblings are mourning? And this was a very difficult Pesach.
Yeah. It was it's the first Pesach from when the war began. And
what was the comedy about? How do you handle that? We have similar jobs in that there's a lot of entertainment to my job.
People are coming to your synagogue, they want to hear what the rabbi's view of what's happening in the world is. This is the vibe.
Which I'm completely unqualified to give.
That's not true at all.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. Your vibe is always, and you always, whenever you speak, you give, here's the other option, here's where I'm at.
Right.
You always give them, you can walk away with this, with whatever you want. I walked away, have passion for these, for the, and you built a case for five different ways you can walk away with this.
Yeah.
I took the one that worked for me, brought it to my Seder, you know, and.
To what? To have compassion for your enemy?
To have, it's, and.
Well, that's
and
it, really it, what it's Passover
not,
is.
Not my enemy, the Hamas. A four-year-old child that was a part of a bomb that was hit.
Of course.
You have to have compassion for that.
But I think the point is even Hamas, you then have to have compassion for. And that's a
level. No. That's another reason.
So
he said, are we all children of God? And funny, in our synagogue, you know where it says on top of the ark, it says, Dalif Nemi Ataumed, know in front of who you know. Are standing in front of when you're standing here, but on top of that, it says no.
Do we not all have one father?
Say it in Hebrew.
Do we not have? I don't remember. It's a quote from Malachi.
Right.
I think it is.
Do we not all come from one father?
Yeah.
Well, Abraham. We come from Abraham, and they're cousins. These are cousins, and so okay, that's a big. And this Pesach with those protests are, I don't talk about that stuff usually in these protests, but the world sees the Jewish protests, his kids in the corner where they were told this is where you can protest from, holding the flag, chanting peace, peace, and the other kids are so unhinged. And there's a student, and that girl with the video that went viral.
It's so
about
goofy.
How they can't. They took over a building. No Jews taking over a building. We might do a triple net lease, but no Jews taking over a building at a demonstration. And then these Arab kids, these pro Hamas kids took over a building. And then they are saying, we can't get food in. And they asked her, did you try? Did you order Google Eats? Yeah. And they said, we didn't try yet, but we are afraid that we will not be allowed. And the Columbia should be sending them food.
It's so good. They're so good.
And of course, where does my head go? I go, if these were Jewish kids with an event, they'd call Second Avenue Deli, A&H Provisions. They'd send, Arthur would send them all sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? It would be catered.
That's amazing.
It would be catered. And she's sitting there. We might not be able to get Uber Eats into the building that we've taken hostage. Are you insane?
First of all, she said that it was a humanitarian crisis.
They're in there for 14 hours. It's not a humanitarian crisis. It's, at best, intermittent fasting. What an idiot.
It's so goofy
with their faces covered and they're just...
Also, you know, when
and they're like half naked, wrapped in a keffiyeh, like a rainbow flag bag. Like, what are you doing?
It hits me. Listen, a lot of people say, well, like, if you went to Gaza, you know, you wouldn't be safe in Gaza. So there, I never really liked that argument. Mm-hmm. Because if you really hold that it's oppression, so oppression is oppression, and you don't, you know, you don't just support places where you would be safe. So that always seemed like a cheap shot to me. But it's devastating. I'll tell you very personally, a community that I feel that I've supported and that I've sacrificed for, that has absolutely turned on me and my people, is devastating. And it really gets me.
You mean the gay community?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
And I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to process even.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? I know you've talked about it on previous shows.
No, he supports LGBT.
I mean, yeah. Listen, it hasn't. I mean, I've definitely got in trouble professionally for some of the work that I've done. I've definitely gone out to protest, and I thought of gay marriage as a civil right, and I made that very, very clear. And I've signed things, and I put my name on statements that it's very difficult in this world, and especially in the religious community, to take that position. Mm-hmm. And for me, I grew up in the West Village. It was never weird to me. It was never like, it was not something that was definitionally offensive, or it was just a different crowd and they need support. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, it was a crowd that needed support because they were dropping like flies and all my parents' friends were dying. And so it became like obvious that this is a community to support. And now that I don't get it, that I don't get it back. I had a friend I met in my coffee shop. You know, I at a certain point in my life, I decided I was going to like proactively branch out and have more friends of people that are not like me.
Good.
Also, because so many of people in my shul and associated with my shul are also my friends. I needed downtime when I wasn't a professional. I wasn't acting as the rabbi. So I needed friends. And my coffee shop was great for that, and I made a lot of them have been very, very wonderful through all of this. But I lost some friends, and even before October 7th, I lost friends over this. People that had no problem eating at my Shabbat table, coming to Shabbat dinner, but then, you know, marching that Israel was, even before October 7th, this was a community that was accusing us of genocide.
Right.
And these are my friends. You're eating my stupid challah, And at this, and with that same mouth, you're accusing me of genocide.
Right.
And I ended the friendship. I ghosted her away. I didn't even want to talk about it. I mean, I tried to. I was like, you don't understand that this is existential.
Yeah. You can't change their minds. You can't.
And
change
there's
their
not.
Minds.
And it's so. And it's
if it
so
doesn't fit the narrative, they're actually. We've learned that on the show. Over and over and over again, right. That if anything doesn't fit the narrative, they don't want to hear it.
Right.
Facts from people who are not Jewish, who live there, who are Muslim, who are Arab, who are telling them what is happening, and they don't want to hear it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But how do we bring this into comedy?
So how do you do, how is comedy?
So comedy at the Passover programs while everybody again it's and here's Morty. People are on their phones all day long. You know, after October 7th, they were watching the war. Now before Passover problem, they're watching protests at schools where their kids are. You know,
yeah.
And then I'm on stage. I addressed it. I go in right into comedy. I joked about the programs, easy like low hanging fruit, talking about what's happening there. Making all of the son-in-laws. I made every son-in-law turn to their father-in-law and say, thank you for bringing me on this program. There's no way I would be able to be able to afford 8 days at this resort. You know, and that kind of stuff. And then at the end, I spoke about the missions to Israel, which was amazing. And people were laughing. And then I sang a tikvah. We sing a tikvah at the end to remind ourselves where our hearts, our prayers, our souls are. And then we go back into our lives of looking at the news, if that's what you choose to do, and fighting and talking and arguing and, you know, and all of that. But we'll just give it a few minutes of calmness. But I got to talk back more about the synagogue. It's for people who really don't have a place to go and need and it's choose your journey. It does not need to be Mincha Shachris and Ma'ariv. It doesn't. It come with what works for you. If only there's people who come only Friday night, people that come only Saturday, people that come. My father, I only come on Shabbat. There could be like only Shabbat. It's just so funny.
I'll tell you.
I want to talk about the synagogue. So we have first of all the president of the synagogue.
The president?
So much you can tell about a synagogue by the president of the synagogue. Anybody who's a president of the synagogue, you're not well. Anybody who chooses to be the president of a synagogue is somebody who's not well. You can't be like, I'm the president of the synagogue. I got it. No. You're president of a Jewish synagogue. Where did you even think this is going to go well? It never goes well.
I mean, there's something about like the people that are active in synagogue who have like, you know, in their jobs, they get pushed around. At home, they get pushed around. And suddenly they come to shul and they're a bala bus. Right?
And now
they're man of rhetorics.
Right. In their house, no one wants to hear from them.
And that's
yeah, what is the job of the president?
Every shuls are different. Some of the let me tell you. The synagogues we've done, me and Leo, when we get to, and it's like 1,200 people, these like conservative and reform synagogues, the president is usually a woman, and she is on it. On it. She's got the lighting, the sound, the this. She knows the crowd control. Boom. But she's a team. She knows how to delegate. Killing it.
Yeah.
Orthodox synagogue. Hi. How are you? Steve Chachovitz. I'm the president. Our president is what? Yiddy.
Ellie.
I'm sorry, Ellie.
Ellie Yiddowitz.
There's dyslexia right there. First of all, he's always on a little something. No?
He's not on nothing.
He's not on nothing and always punchlines. He's looking for punchlines. 24/7.
That are, by the way, that are amazing to him.
That are sometimes amazing are so funny. What does he do? He's in publishing.
He's in advertising.
Pharmaceutical. And sometimes he grows his beard out for the whole year just so on Purim he can do a
braided or
a chassid costume.
Oh my
for the whole year. Gone.
Gone. Wait, long stockings.
Beyond Ashkenazi. He's beyond. He's like when you open up a book. What is Ashkenazi? That's Ashkenazi. Wife, Moroccan.
Yeah,
Moroccan. That doesn't say a word. Not a word. Not a peep out of her mouth. Unless usually. She gets a cup of wine in there. And then
we've unleashed something.
Then you've, hala! It's so funny.
Oh my
but
God.
It's like, that's the vibe.
And it's the best.
It's easy it's laughing and it's a huge synagogue. So you really can.
I've been there. I feel like I've been there. Gav told me he also made like 500 chicken cutlets by himself.
You can literally choose your own journey. Some people come in dressed in a full suit, like a full Shabbat, how they grew up. We're going to synagogue, full suit, everything, tie, everything.
My
father looks at them. What are you wearing? My father comes in his good jeans, this button down shirt. That's only if my mother catches him on the way out. Otherwise, he's going to put on
if she doesn't, then he comes in and he tells me where he got it for free.
Yeah, Costco, not Costco, Castro Oil, this.
Or he his A&H jacket.
And he sits in the front and does hog. But it's that vibe. Or you can be super religious. We have people there who come that are Chabad people. They just sit there in their corner, they do their little Chabad thing, and then they go. It's just an easy vibe. And he created that. He created and curated.
Yes, and no.
Some people,
yes and no. I mean,
people
I love
who throw
it.
The vibes off, he kind of lets them out.
Really?
People who unvibe a shul, there's people who can unvibe a shul.
Yeah.
There's people who can.
I'm good about it though.
You're very good about it. You give plenty of comeback.
I didn't create. I mean, there was always. It was always a flexible place, and there was always the chaos and the sweetness and the loveliness. I mean, an early story of your father involved him like cursing at somebody on the Bima. I mean, it's like it was always a little weird. It
What's
was always
that
a little fun.
Story?
Oh my God, it's the best.
Oh my
this?
God.
Do you know this?
I heard.
This is a guy Bert, and he's like a kind of playful. And so Modi's father does hagba every week.
When you pick up the Torah,
he does a hagba every week. This is my like second week in shul. I learned second week that he does hagba.
This is when he first became the rabbi.
Thing. So he does hagba, and you know you tie the Torah up, and then you wrap it with a belt. And so this guy was feeling playful, so he takes the belt and he hits your father in the face with the belt.
But
as
like,
he's tying
it's
the toe.
Belt. It's a little piece
it's
a, of
it's velvet.
Of velvet. It's a velvet.
Velvet
garter.
And your father.
My father takes it seriously. My father goes there, picks up the Torah, holds it, comes. 87, 88 years old.
I know your father. I can't imagine.
That's his thing. Stands up there. And then he goes and sits down.
You close the Torah.
And somebody, a random person that's given the honor to put the cover on. So this guy, Bert, was there, and he was trying to be playful with my father. My father said, just do it already. So my father said to him,
I think it was, go fuck yourself, you fat fuck, or something. It was something like that.
It was fuck you, you fucking fuck.
Yeah,
he like used fuck in every My father had no patience. My father
no
get this
patience.
Done. You do hagba, you do glila.
Everyone
you
is
move
singing
on.
the Zotah Torah song.
Yeah, and everybody's singing and he's having this interaction.
And I knew that second week into shul that it was going to be different. It was going to be very, very different.
And did you get rid of Bert?
No,
Bert's adorable. He was trying to be playful. He was being playful. My father, do it already. We don't get rid of a Bert.
No.
Bert's our next character.
He's our next president.
I
don't know.
He's the next president. That's hysterical. Anyway, it's just an amazing environment that everybody should feel welcome to.
I made the first
and comedians.
There.
Oh my God. We have a lot of comedians.
Well, you're not a comedian yourself.
Thank you. We need to do a Friday night dinner. We need to do like a funny person dinner.
Okay.
We should do that. We'll call mom. We have also
in the synagogue. Now you know how I always joke about everybody in the synagogue. There's always riffs a little bit. That's the one I don't talk to. Him I do talk to. We don't talk. In our synagogue, we have Sandra Bernhardt comes to the synagogue. And she sits right, third row, up front, and harmonizes with whoever's singing.
Loves it.
Loves it. I go up there. Whatever I'm singing, she does the harmony to it. Beautiful voice. It's so nice.
They get along really nicely musically.
With who?
You and Sandra.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's wonderful. I love her. We've had dinner with her. Okay, then she found out that I performed at the Republican Jewish Coalition. And she lost her mind. She didn't lose her mind. She was like, okay, I'm not like, this is not cute. And she had to tell me about it and all that. And so like, that's like a new, the Zohar says, if you go through life and everybody loves you and likes you, you've done something wrong. Mm. You have done something wrong. And thank God that this is the little tiff I have in my life. And I actually thank Sandra for it. I thank her for it.
No, yeah. But you also understand her.
I get it. She comes
politics,
from a different world. Yeah.
She's so committed to that world.
She doesn't come from a different world.
No, she does. Yeah. Sandra Bernhardt is an activist, pro-gay activist, day one, screaming against Republicans and
yeah,
whoever.
You know who
she is. But hold on. But she, and so I do my work. I'm in the party. I'm telling them, look, this is what's happening. I'm performing in front of them and telling them it's okay to be gay and it's okay to be gay, period, is what I'm telling them. And so she's just, we did different approaches and it's just, but I just love that that's my thing.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad that you love that. I don't want to hear about this bullshit, this pro-gay, Cynthia Nixon, Rosie O'Donnell, I don't know Sandra Bernhardt, but this narrative is not real, okay?
What are you talking about?
Wait, this narrative of like, all of the people who are screaming that we are committing genocide.
Sandra Bernhardt is not committing.
That's not what we're talking about. Modi would even cut that out of the podcast.
Yeah, you didn't get this. Okay, start again. Sandra is very pro-Israel and very pro-gay.
Okay.
And she's no.
I don't know where you were going with that.
She's an activist. And for her, the Republican agenda, whether it's taking away a woman's right to choose or the anti-gay agenda, so is devastating.
Okay,
and
I got
so
you.
Then for Modi to perform for them seems to her like selling out.
Yeah,
and you understand her passion in this area. That's a little bit different with Modi. He comes into a room into this room, and already he's sitting down with them and talking to them. He's exposing
with my husband sitting with them, and they're like, okay, that's our comedian that we love and have a great time with, and that's his husband. Done. It's just
the world is a little bit more complicated than that.
Yes.
But I understand that.
But sometimes it's fun to simplify it for them. Sometimes it's fun to just simplify it. We are watching a gay comedian at a Republican show, period. It's just, and then, not that I'm with them or against them, I was there, they saw a gay comedian, and that was it. She's not okay with that, yeah. Which is fine.
She loves Shul. She loves Hashem. She is thoughtful and
amazing.
Lovely.
And such a soul.
And you guys need to get along.
I'm going to broker this. I'm going to make a peace treaty in 2024. I just love it.
I love that that's your view.
Isn't that
of all of them? Yeah, I know.
By the way, also, so there was another person in the synagogue that didn't like me. Okay, there was a photo. There was a photo that was done.
Limor Garfinkel.
Thank you. Limor Garfinkel did this beautiful art project with comedians. She did this picture of me, which is so beautiful.
Wait. She did this picture of Modi in shul.
In our synagogue.
She took his photo. It's triple exposed. It's like this amazing thing. And then she did that over the summer, years ago. And then that November, it was the New York Comedy Festival. And there was a fundraiser for like the ADHD clinic at Mount Sinai. And she was auctioning off her photographs. There was, remember, at the roof of the Public.
It was at the festival.
I remember everything.
You don't remember everything.
Why?
It was, first of all, it was at Ian Schrager Hotel, and we were there with
Tracy Morgan.
It was at the Public.
No, not the theater. The hotel.
Is that the Public?
I think it's the Public.
Okay.
So it was Tracy's like first appearance after the injury.
Okay.
Everyone was standing around. It was amazing, and she had all these pieces out. It was a silent auction. So I walked over, and the Modi one is amazing. So I walk over to the Modi one. No one has bid on it yet. So I put down my name, and the starting bid, I put down my name. And
then you paid more and more.
Oh, yeah, there was a bidding. There was quite the bidding war.
Because it's just a beautiful photograph.
Exactly. And turns out that I won the Modi photo.
So and it's on this beautiful
metal. It's amazing. I went to her office to pick it up. It was amazing. And listen, I love Modi the most. So, but it's not going in my living room. So then I asked you. I'm like, would you like this?
So he hangs it down.
No. Even before that, I asked you if you wanted it, and you said, "What would I do with it?" I said, I don't know. It's beautiful. He said, I don't need a picture of me like that. I don't want it. I said, you know what? Should I offer it to your parents? So he said, yeah, I'll offer it to my parents. I offer it to your father. Your father says, why would I want it? So then I put it downstairs and just like as a whole, just a whole place and let people see it for a few weeks. And this woman, the woman who doesn't like you comes up to me. And it's one of those, you should know people. So please do it.
What?
She's just like, you should know, I'm a big fan of comedy, but I'm really not a fan of Modi's comedy.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
So talking about, what's his name's wife?
Yeah.
Wow, how do you remember?
I remember
It's not
everything.
Like that.
What happened? By the way,
he hangs it, wow, talk about landing. Basically, it's this beautiful picture of me as a chassid, as a chazan, and as me with a black t-shirt pointing at the thing saying, no, in front of who you stand.
Amazing.
Amazing
I want
picture.
This.
Listen, wait. So he hangs it downstairs.
And he asks
me, are you okay with this hanging here? After he tells me that this one woman in the synagogue isn't a fan. She doesn't like me for a few reasons. It was whatever it was. And then I go, wait. So you mean every time we have Kiddush, she has to see this? I go, leave it here.
It's there forever now.
It's there. It's planted.
It's there.
It's right where he puts underneath it. He puts the gefilte, the
gefilte fish.
Not the gefilte fish, the herring, the smelly herring.
The herring right under it.
Right underneath it.
Well, we'll turn the shul to condos. That picture will still be
Meanwhile,
there.
Meanwhile, she and I are best friends now. We're great friends now.
What was her problem?
I don't know. No, it was her and her husband had to introduce me once at a shul event. And they thought they were going to be hysterical and try to roast me, but wow, were they wrong? Because I came. It's funny. It was a shul dinner in his shul. Not in the shul. He actually took a place for it.
Yeah.
And they went up there and they were like they were the MCs. Mm-hmm. And because there's a comic coming on, they're going to roast him. Ha ha! Luckily, Sandra Bernhardt performed before me, and she was filthy.
We have the worst shul on the planet. No one should come to my shul.
S's and C words just dropping
at the shul.
At the shul dinner.
At the shul dinner.
You wouldn't let me and Olga do a show there because you said
in the sanctuary.
That was in the sanctuary. You can't put that mouth in a sanctuary.
The Torah's right there.
The Torah's right there. You gotta have some cover.
Do you think you are Modi's father?
Yeah. So listen to hilarious.
Good callback.
Good callback.
Call that a callback.
Wait, so I'm fine. I'm going to do the show. I'm going to do 20 minutes for my synagogue. We'll have some laughs. Other rabbis from the other areas came. And he just said, you know what? I'll let Sandra Bernhardt do 10 minutes. She was filthy, hysterical, funny. She was Sandra Bernhardt, yeah. Period.
She
said she did. And she that was it. And then it was more of a toast. She didn't do a set. She did a toast.
It's beautiful.
And then this couple introduces me. Which I'm very close with them now, and I love them. And they thought it would be hysterical. We're going to roast Modi and taking jabs and shots.
They do that thing, you know, when the couple gets up and like she has her line and he has his.
Yeah,
you know, like they're going back and forth, super cute.
So rehearsed in
the
living room.
The worst.
The worst. Couldn't get worse. Literally, here's Modi. Now I'm following, you know, Heckle and Jekyll, and here's Modi and
Punch and Judy,
and so I just started to rip into them, right. Like hard, and the S and F bombs were already out there,
uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just took that too. I said, "Do you two really you know, do F and it was really just, and that was it. So she then was like in shock that I destroyed them. So she didn't like me. So then he told me, I said, it's going to be here. So, and what's his name still doesn't like me. He goes, yep. I go, I want her to see that every Shabbat. I want every Shabbat for her to have to look at me when she's getting her herring.
Your performance at that shul dinner
was
it was hilarious. It provoked a special board meeting where like you were the topic, where there was like some more conservative voices that were like, this was terrible, this, we can't have this. And then it was everyone else that said,
not because of me, because of Sandra.
You were they overlooked Sandra. She prepared your own shul dinner.
Why? Because so he was cursing.
It was a topic because of that and so but then like some of the younger
took a shot at them. After but then they
but then the younger leadership was like, this is actually the funniest thing. This is everything. Like, our shul cannot be like a regular shul. We're not. We don't have anything in us.
This is a while ago where our synagogue had old people in it.
Not anymore.
They had the
COVID. People. They all died.
When the rabbi took over, when Rabbi Gavriel took over, it was like our synagogue, like the average age was literally deceased, and they were on the board still. Now the old people that come to our shul just come to be like, hey, isn't this nice? We can sit, have lunch, and go home. Back then, the old people tried to like control. Yeah. And
there was a lot of controlling. There was
like, it was whatever it was. Fun.
You know, we couldn't have who's gonna make the hamotzi? I'm like, everyone.
Like,
I don't know.
Okay. That kind of nonsense. Anyway, but it was just a moment, and that was it. And
it was fine. Everyone loves each other now.
It's a very loving environment. You know why? Because the rabbi's in charge.
By
the way, those of you who don't know, shuls work better when the rabbi is in charge.
Who else would be in charge?
No.
Every member.
It's a mixed bag. Because if the rabbi is crazy.
Chabad houses are amazing because the rabbi's in charge.
But it also means that the rabbi has to be there when the air conditioner gets repaired.
That's also a thing. Yes.
Why does the rabbi have to be there when the air
You delegate, but it means it's ultimately your responsibility. It's not like you have some kind of board of people that are involved that are now responsible for like building maintenance and making sure that that's off of the rabbi's plate. And now we come, it's on my plate.
The air conditioning's on your plate.
The air conditioning. Oh God, we had a thing.
Should we cut into the next show?
Well, we could cut into the next show. I mean, the air fascinating and riveting as the air conditioning.
I found these amazing urinal cakes.
Oh, I heard about the urinal.
Okay, we're gonna do the next show.
Yeah, let's cut out.
You want to cut?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. This is fun. There's gonna be another episode with different stuff that I want to talk about. Those of you listening till now, thank you. Oh my God. Let's discuss the shows. Well, first of all, do you have anything to plug?
You can just find me on Instagram at Periel. Everything.
You changed it to Periel?
No, it's still my last name. But if you put in Periel, I need Leo to tell me how to change it.
No, you have to hire someone to do it full time, and that's
how to change the
your handle.
Yeah,
Rabbi can do that too. He's amazing. He runs the Instagram for the synagogue, which is Sixth Street Synagogue. It's follow and say hi and figure out when you want to come. You are all welcome. The kiddushes are great. And you can even sponsor one. Be the friend who sponsors the kiddush for all the other people. It's so good. Anything else?
Yeah, that's good. We're good.
That's the handle. And your thing. And me, Modi, hi, everybody. By the time this is out, the tickets are on sale for Atlantic City. West Hampton. By now, they're probably all sold out. By the time this airs, they will all, God willing, be sold out. Yerushalayim shel zahav, v'shenechoshet v'shel or. I'm coming June 16th to do a show. Okay? June 16th, Jerusalem Theater. I will be there. Tell all of your friends, Yerushalayim for the Hasidim, Jerusalem for the Americans, and Yerushalayim for the Israelis. I will be there. Melbourne is selling out. We sold out two shows. We added one more. Make sure you get your tickets. Sydney, we're adding another show probably. And the one, and so Australia, and then anything else? And that's it for now. That's it. That's a lot. ModiLive.com for all of your Modi needs, and make sure you're laughing and pause for laughter and say hi and tell us everything that you're thinking. And those of you who are on the Pesach programs that told me that you listen, and when you listen, I am so happy that we are above from people's day. And people were telling me, like, they're not listening to us like a Ben Shapiro. They listen to us because they don't want to hear dead air while they're driving, when they're walking their dog. They want something in the background that just helps them And that's what we are. We're And thank you very much for listening.